Warning, this podcast may contain graphic violence, sexual themes, and bad language. If our language offends you, we apologize, but we do not give a fuck. Be mindful of your kids listening.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast. Hello, evil ones.
You thanks sound for listening. Funny tonight.
I sound funny, huh?
Yeah, hello, evil ones.
Thanks for listening.
You drunk?
You let me finish, damn it!
No! Welcome to the Evil Never Dies podcast with your host, Evil Bubba Brett. Welcome, Brett.
And then we got Carl there, or yeah. Robbie.
Two separate folks. So before we start, I've got all this fancy stuff to have a microphone coming soon. I was supposed to have this for the 100th episode, but it didn't show up in time. So I guess I'm getting more professional or something.
Maybe.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
Probably be good. I think it'll sound a lot better.
And yeah, because I sound sort of funky sometimes.
And then you won't need to wear them headphones either anymore, so.
Yeah, it messes up my hair.
I was just going to say that.
It does. I need to get my hair looking all better and stuff. Since we're on YouTube, I have to have a presentable image. I guess I'm the face of the show. I don't know.
All right.
So tonight, after much ado, we're finally going to get into Skid Row's Slave to the Grind. We've been talking about this for at least the last couple months.
Yeah.
You were going to do it as a midweek, and I'm like, no, I want in on this. So tonight, that is our topic.
You getting
1991, Slave to the Grind.
Yep.
Get the fuck out. What?
What? What?
What is this thing? What is that attached to?
That is where your thing's going to screw in for your mic to hold your microphone.
Okay, and this is going to be where it goes.
Put it up. We'll do it tomorrow.
Hey, I wanted it for the 100th episode with Jerry Pollack.
Well, you're a few episodes late.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Plus, we had the and somebody at work today told me, said, by the way, Pumpkinhead is not really a pumpkin. I'm like, hey. And so apparently that has become even at work now, people are saying that.
Oh, you got people at your work listening to it?
Apparently so.
Oh, cool. Well, that's awesome.
Pumpkinhead is not really a pumpkin.
Nobody listens at my work. I don't know. I don't know if my dispatcher, she might listen every once in a while. I don't know, so.
Well, everybody at work knows that I'm into all this crazy shit, so.
All right. Slave to the Grind. My favorite.
Yes, it is.
My favorite Skid Row album by far.
Well, they've only technically had three with Sebastian Bach, so.
Yeah.
One with Johnny Solinger, and after that, I don't really know what the fuck goes on with them guys anymore.
All right. The album was recorded 1990 through into 1991. They wrote most of the songs at their studio that they use frequently in New Jersey. And then they demoed the tracks to Michael Wagner, who actually produced their debut album also. And then they began recording late 1990. And they did it in actually two studios, New River in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Scream in Studio City, California, which is by Los Angeles.
Gotcha.
And when they
What's the genre?
Genre is heavy metal.
Not glam rock.
No, it's even listed as heavy metal. So
good. I was gonna fucking go off if somebody called it glam rock.
And they got it as hard rock too.
It was glam. Yeah.
All right. Length
I'm
is
just,
length is
on.
48 minutes and 41 seconds. Label is Atlantic Records. And,
yeah,
like,
and Atlantic
said,
pushed the fuck out of this album when it came out too.
Yeah, they did. And like I said before, it was produced by Michael Wagner. I guess that's how you spell it. It's got an E in there on the,
yeah, he's a real famous producer.
And yeah, this album, they did a total 180 on this with their sound. It's way more heavy, and still got your power ballads in there. There's a few of them in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but they were not love ballads.
No, no, no.
They were very dark songs.
Yep.
Well, one of them was called In a Darkened Room. That's a good way of putting it.
And their lyrics were more complex. Criticizing authority, politics, drugs, organized religion, among other things, you know. Typical heavy metal album, I guess.
And Skid Row were the very first, which I would call glam rock band, that actually went heavy. And they did this long before grunge ever hit.
Yep.
So Skid Row were seeing that the grunge, that not grunge, that the hair metal, glam metal was dying, and they were the first motherfuckers who did the switch.
Yep. Yes, they were.
Much credit to them for that. And I will say right now, when Skid Row switched, I switched. I pretty much turned my back on what was left of the glam bands that I liked at that point, except for Warrant, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. And pretty much became just a thrash fan and whatever you call Maiden and Priest, I guess power metal. So I kind of morphed with Skid Row. 1991 was a big morph year for me. I purged myself of glam rock.
Yep. It ended up being released June 11th, 1991.
Yes, it did, and I bought it the day it came out.
Did you really?
Oh, fuck yeah. I bought both copies. There's two versions.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, there's a clean version and a regular version. And there's also a Japanese edition, too. So actually, there's three versions.
Yeah, the Japanese versions, you just never know about.
All right, let's go over the band. And
let's do.
First off, we got Sebastian Bach on lead vocals. And he's a fucking good singer, man. He's still got a good voice. Have you ever watched Trailer Park Boys?
Never heard of it. Don't
well,
sound like something I would watch.
He's on a few episodes, and he was doing some singing on there, and I thought he sounded good. This has probably been like 6 years ago he was on it, or so, 6-7 years ago, maybe longer. I don't know, but he did some singing on it, and I thought he sounded pretty damn good for just being on a TV show, you know.
His voice is not what it once was,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, whose is, except for maybe Michael Sweet from Striper, which that's another story for we'll get into. They were both on the Kiss cruise a couple weeks ago. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about, remind me that story here after we get.
Okay. All right. Next, we got Dave Sabo on guitars and backing vocals.
The snake.
Yeah. Scotty Hill on guitars and backing vocals. Rachel Bolan, bass and backing vocals, and that is not a chick, that's a guy.
Yeah.
Rob Afuso on drums and percussion.
Very underrated drummer too.
Yeah, he's a good
He's sort
drummer.
of disappeared from the earth. I don't know what happened to that guy. He actually toured on when Sebastian was doing, I might have been Slave to the Grind. He actually showed up and played a couple shows with Sebastian, but he hasn't been in Skid Row in like 25 years either.
Since that last album with Sebastian Bach, or
Yes, he's gone after that.
all right, production. We got, like I said, Michael Wagner on producer and mixing, Riley J. Connell, assistant engineer, Craig Dubitt, assistant engineer, George Marino, mastering, and Bob Dufrin, art direction. And the charts. This album was the first album to debut, heavy metal album to debut at number one on the Billboard Top 200.
Yes, it was. But it
And
was also the first SoundScan, I think Billboard called it. The first, and that gave a lot of the metal bands a boost because most of the metal fans, including me, would buy the albums day one. So the old way of counting, things were a little bit behind. But it was the first metal album to ever debut at number one on Billboard. And granted, now this was pre-grunge, so the old,
Right before grunge,
yeah.
right smack dab before grunge. Actually,
Just a little bit,
when grunge started, they were actually touring when the grunge started in 92.
Well, let's give a little bit of a background on Skid Row, before we get into the album, just for anybody who's not real familiar with them. They were New Jersey band, Dave Sabo and Rachel Bolan. They were the founders, and they got Scotty Hill and I think the drummer. But Dave Sabo and John Bon Jovi were friends as teenagers, and I think he was actually in Bon Jovi for a brief time. So Bon Jovi kind of helped them get in the music business and get signed. Now, Sebastian was not the original singer. He actually came in right whenever they were starting the album. And here's you a footnote. John Corabi actually auditioned for Skid Row.
Really?
Yes. So they played a few clubs, but they were more known for getting on Bon Jovi's New Jersey tour as opening act. And it pissed a lot of people off because they didn't think Skid Row had the didn't do their time in the clubs. Because back then that was the big deal. You had to go do the clubs and earn your way. And a lot of people thought, well, this dude's John's buddy. So John put his band up there opening for him. And they caught a lot of heat from that. So, anyway, that's my background on Skid Row and
Yeah, I knew
how
John
they.
Bon Jovi had something to do with them.
Yes, he did. And they did open that New Jersey tour and they were a baby band and first album. And there was a little bit of people were. Kind of gave him a little bit of heat for it. But I'll tell you what, the first album was a huge success. It was
It
big
was.
success. Yeah, I think it sold like 5 million copies. Anyway, back to what was it, 89, 90, 91. That was about 4 years later, Slave to the Grind came out, or two, at least 3 years.
Didn't it come out in 88?
The debut was 89, 80. It was January of 89,
89, yep.
I think January. I think you can fact check me if you think my facts are wrong.
All right.
I know this stuff. I know this stuff.
All right. Cover art was done by Sebastian Bach's father, David Bierk.
I remember that.
And it's actually a very long mural that continues on the inside of the album.
I think this was one of the I'd already went to CDs by then, so I don't know what the actual LP looked like.
booklet is in
It
the
was a
book.
book, the booklet folded out, but I don't know what they did on the record.
Well, they would have probably had to have a bifold cover to do that.
This is 91, so records were starting to die off.
Yeah.
So who knows? I still don't know how the fuck vinyl died and came back to life. I don't get it.
The album cover, it's set like in the medieval era, but it depicts people using modern technology gadgets and stuff on it. If you look at it real close. And I guess it was inspired by Caravaggio's Burial of Saint Lucy from 1608. And actually, JFK's one of them in the crowd.
I always thought Sebastian was in the ground. It looks like him, at least.
It's pretty weird album cover for
It
sure.
is a weird album cover, but it sort of fits the album
Yep.
really well because I think the debut album was just them all glammed out on the cover, kind of in the background. But yeah, this is definitely shows a different. Like something's changed here, folks. This is not the Skid Row that sold 5 million copies and all the girls thought was just wonderful.
Yeah.
Something changed.
Oh, the girls still thought they were wonderful, I'm sure.
Actually, there were a lot of pissed off little metal girls for with this album. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
this was a little much for them.
Huh. All right, let's go over the track list
Are
now.
we going to rate the songs as we go, or are we just going to talk?
Oh, I guess we can just talk about them because I like every damn song on the whole album,
Well,
so.
I listened to some of this while I was hitting my boxing bag last night just with my new Apple EarPods Pro, and some of it, yeah, we'll go over it. I'll give a little bit of a modern take on this as well.
Okay, well, there were five singles released off this album
I
out
don't
of.
think any of them really was big, huge chart.
No, they weren't. They didn't. They
They were
didn't get.
not radio songs.
No.
There is no 18 in Life. There is no I Remember You.
Exactly.
This was
Exactly.
heavy shit.
Exactly. All right. Track one, we got Monkey Business.
Which
That was
was
their
the debut single
debut
and video.
single and video.
I don't think it was a good. I think they should have picked another song myself.
Yeah.
Because you really can't get the gist of the album off of Monkey Business. I think this was probably supposed to be the radio song.
Yeah, but it didn't make it. They
Nah,
still
he
played it
was.
on the radio, but not like they did the other album.
Well, it's not a radio song, but it's the closest thing on this album to one, I guess. Not a big fan of Monkey Business. I didn't like the video, and I thought the song was
Those.
probably one of the weaker songs on the album.
Talking about drug addiction is what it's talking about.
This whole album is all about dark shit,
Yep.
especially drugs.
Yep.
Again, this is not a glam rock album,
No.
and people back in '91 wanted to argue with me like they still do to this day about shit. And I'm like, look, people, this is not the Skid Row that toured with Bon Jovi. This is a different band. And I remember saying, this is going to be the future of metal here. That this is the direction that these bands are going. Little did I know, it did go in a different direction. It was more the glam shit dying and the grunge taking over. But this was a significant point. That bands like Megadeth and Slayer and Metallica would all blow up and become huge. And I'm not saying it's because of Slave to the Grind. I'm just saying that as glam died, the thrash band started to sell and become more radio bands.
Yep.
So
Well, they
there you
had
go.
to because of the grunge factor when grunge came out. They had to try to do something to
Well, the
stay
thrash
alive.
bands didn't really do that much. They became more popular. But Skid Row saw the writing on the wall before the writing ever got there. And I
Yep.
always gave him credit for that. And I don't think it was Sebastian always took credit for the going in the heavier direction, but I think he was just there for the ride. I'll give it to Dave Sabo or Sabu or whatever I don't even know what the fuck that dude's name is. We'll call him
Sabo.
Snake.
Snake. Okay. All right, track two. We got Slave to the Grind, title track of the album.
That should have been the debut single if they really wanted
Yep.
to kick people in the ass.
Yep, it's really fucking hard for
It
sure.
is. It's hard. It's heavy as shit.
Because I remember when
And
this
the
first came out and I first heard it, I was like, wow,
yeah.
this is nothing like
This
their
is not 18
first.
in life.
Yeah.
That would have been a perfect single.
Well, it was released as a single, but
I mean, first single.
yeah, I hear you. All
But
right.
yeah, the drums on that are outstanding. A lot of, good double bass.
Yep.
Good song.
The bass and the drums were awesome together.
Almost a punk thrash song is what I would call it.
Yep. Old, like New York hardcore, sort of.
That's a good description.
Yep. All right, track three, The Threat.
That song I've never really paid a lot of attention to.
Not me neither, but it's good still, but not my favorite on the album for
Now,
sure.
that was one I listened to when I last night when I was doing boxing, and I thought this song sounds like it was a little forced almost.
Yeah.
Like it just sort of didn't really fit, and they just sort of threw it in there.
Exactly. All right. Track four. And this was another, what do you call it? Single they released
Yeah.
and a video for it too. Wasn't there a video for this too, I think?
Yeah,
Quicksand
there was.
Jesus. That's what I thought. It's a
I think it
ballad.
came, I think it was the last single they released. So by then the album had pretty much died off. So I don't know.
Yeah, let me see when they released this as
It
a
was the last
single.
single, I'm pretty sure. I think it came out after
Yep, May of
the.
'92. They didn't release it till they were far into the.
What happened is Atlantic figured out that this thing was a fucking heavy rock album, and the lighter songs, I really wouldn't even call them ballads because these songs are dark as fuck.
Yep.
They started throwing out as singles thinking that one of them might catch on the radio. It didn't work. It didn't. These songs were way too dark for 1991 radio.
Yep.
It just, yeah, the glam rock kids just couldn't accept this stuff. That's why I quit becoming a glam rock kid and turned into a fucking thrash kid at this
All out
point. All
metalhead.
out, yeah, exactly. Me and Skid Row ran off together and we never came back.
All right, track five, Psycho Love.
It's a good groovy song.
Yep.
Got a
It
good
is
groove too. Kind of groove
groovy.
metal. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And track six, we got Get the Fuck Out.
Yeah. Again, going from 18 in life to get the fuck out. That was quite a culture shock. Just pure on thrash metal.
I remember somebody told me, it ain't get the fuck out, it's get the funk out. It's like,
No, it was get
no,
the
it's
fuck
not. It's
out.
get the fuck out.
That was extreme, those little assholes with their Nuno Betancourt's a great guitar player, but Extreme was a shit band. Sorry. That's just some commentary there.
And yeah, that's a hard song too, man. It's pretty hard. All right, track seven, Living on a Chain Gang.
Always thought that was about his little earring
To his
necklace thing.
nose, yeah.
Yeah. That
Oh,
must have been the chain gang.
that's funny. Track eight, we got Creep Show. That's a good song.
It is.
It's a different sounding for sure. It's got a different sound to it than the rest of the songs on the whole album. But
It
again,
does.
it's hard. Yeah. All right. Track nine, In a Darkened Room, and this was released as a single also.
And that is my favorite song off the album. And it's probably one of my favorite Skid Row songs of their short career with Sebastian, at least. I love this song. I still have this song is still on one of my playlists. It's one of my I have a dark track whenever I get in one of my moods, and in a darkened room actually is on there because I love the lyrics. Fucking
Yes.
Dark, dark shit.
Yeah,
the
it
name
is.
fits. So I would call this the best song on the album. It is a slower song, but I would not call it a ballad.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
I
that's it.
think this. I think that's the one where Atlantic Records didn't like the video and was wanting to put a bikini model in it, and the band turned it down or some crap.
We're in a darkened room.
I think it's one of them. I know they were trying to make it look all fancy for a video, and it just Atlantic figured out real quick that they just couldn't do a lot with this album. It just wasn't what they wanted as far as Skid Row were supposed to be. So they did everything they could to try to sell it.
To sell it and lighten it up as much as they could.
As much as they could, and they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. This was fucking heavy shit, man.
Yeah. For the day it was.
For 1991, from a glam rock band, this was
yeah,
this is a
exactly.
fucking culture shock.
Exactly. All right, track 10, we got Riot Act.
This is just a full-on thrash metal song.
Yeah, it is, basically.
Short song.
Yep. It's only
sort
two.
Of maybe an anthraxy sounding thing.
Yep. Exactly. All right, and back to like the New York stuff again, you know.
It's sort of like, yeah. Well, you know, they were from Jersey, so.
Yeah, I'm sure they were always seeing them shows across the river there, so.
Of course, yeah.
So, yeah.
Then we got Mud Kicker, I think, after
yep, track
number
11
11.
is Mud Kicker.
And looking back from a modern look at this, it's, again, more of that groove metal sort of sound
yep.
to it. Kind of boom, 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 that bass, so. This album really needs to get more fucking attention than it does. I think this album really influenced a lot of shit that came after it.
Exactly. It's just, I don't know where they went with that third album, though. You know, after this, it's like.
It came out during grunge, and
yeah.
It was actually parts
Trying
of
to
it were
compete.
heavier. Some of it was heavier than this one.
Yeah.
Then the last song was Wasted Time, and that's another song that I still like to this day.
Yep.
It's
Really good
probably
song. Also considered a quote ballad. So
it's a drug song. It's about
yep.
drug addiction.
Which about half of these songs on the album are, so
They are, yeah.
Yeah, cool video too. Yeah. Very good song.
Now, there was a clean edition, I guess, for Walmart or Kmart back then. They took Get the Fuck Out and put the song Beggar's Day on there. And it sort of seemed like it was just a throwaway song that they didn't want on the album.
Yeah.
But I guess Atlantic insisted on taking Get the Fuck Out off, so they actually put two copies out. Beggar's Day is not a very memorable song.
No. I had to look it up and listen to it because I don't think I'd even heard it before, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't. I'm sure
Yeah.
the band did not approve of that.
Yeah, but they had to listen to the record execs. So
Atlantic, they ran a tight ship back then, and they had a lot of successful hard rock and metal bands, and they were one of the fairer labels, so I think they just weren't prepared for this transformation that they did.
Yep, they were expecting bubblegum glam
glam
rock.
rock. They were.
And also there was a Japanese edition that included The Beggar's Day, which replaced Get the Fuck Out, because I guess the Japanese
Yeah, they
didn't
didn't like
like
that.
that either. So
they didn't like that.
And then they did a cover of Holidays in the Sun by the Sex Pistols. And I couldn't find that I tried to look it up.
No,
I couldn't
I've
find
never
it.
heard that actually, so.
I didn't look on Spotify. I just looked on Apple. I couldn't find it on there. But then they put a live version of Get the Fuck Out.
They were just rebels, man.
And they actually did a Judas Priest cover of Delivering the Goods. And I have heard that. I heard that a long time ago. And they did a pretty good job on it, for sure. That was recorded in Arizona in 1992. Do you remember had them doing a Priest cover live when you seen them that tour?
I can't remember that at that stage. Let's see. I had a web page pulled up earlier before we got on the show trying to remember. And it said they did Cold Gin.
Cold Gin. They must have did a
Yeah.
different one every couple of nights or
They
something
could
then.
have, because this was technically Skid Row's first arena theater
Headlining, yeah.
headlining gig after they opened for
Yeah.
shit, Bon Jovi, and then they were on the 91 Guns N' Roses stadium tour. I guess it wasn't a
Yeah.
stadium tour at the time. It's the one where Axl threw the riot in St. Louis, and the first show
Yeah.
back happened to be in Dallas, and I was there. And I went for Skid Row. I had to take my nephews because they wanted to see Guns N' Roses, and I'm like, I'm going for Skid Row because of course I supported this album, and they like fucking kicked ass, and then we had to wait like 3 hours for Axl to show up, and I was ready to leave, but they wanted to see
You
Skid
know,
Row.
I got to be
I mean,
honest
they want to
with
see
you.
GNR.
I got to be honest with you. I have never been a big Guns N' Roses fan.
You've said that on the show before.
Have I? Well, I'm saying it again.
I'm not going to say that. I did like Guns N' Roses. I liked them before they were popular. But anyway, this is all about Skid Row tonight.
Yeah.
But I saw them. I did not see them open for Bon Jovi because even though I was into more of the glam rock, I just couldn't get into Bon Jovi. That was too glammy for me. So I did not see Skid Row on that tour. I did see them open for Guns N' Roses, and I did see the Slave to the Grind tour. And should we get into that?
Sure, let's get into the tour, man.
They actually brought with them a band that we all know well named Pantera on this tour.
Yes,
It was
they
Skid
did.
Row and Pantera. Pantera, not Pantera. I'm trying to say it like the guy at Joe's Garage was Ab. He owned Joe's Garage. There used to be, I forget the phone number now. You would call it, there was a voicemail. Welcome to Joe's Garage. This Friday, the mighty Pantera, only $5. That's how he talked. He was a Middle Eastern guy. So Pantera, he always called him Pantera.
Pantera.
So at the time, I thought this was Pantera's first national tour, but it was not. But it was also their first big arena, big theater tour. And them and Skid Row made for a hell of a team because Pantera brought their crowd, and their crowd was not really accepting a Skid Row. And there was a lot of grief.
Yes, there was.
There was a lot of grief because people, the Pantera crowd just wasn't going to accept Skid Row being a thrash band. And I remember having many arguments and disagreements and cuss outs over this, me defending Skid Row. So it was it was definitely a wild crowd.
Yes, it
But
was.
in the end, Sebastian stayed close to Vinny and Daryl until they both passed away. It was a lifetime friendship. And the other guys, I think, as well, but I know Sebastian and the brothers were, they were always close. They always were. And Pantera appreciated the fact that Skid Row did give them, you know, their first big tour. Not their first national tour. I think I've said that wrong before, but it was crazy, as all Pantera shows were. The one in Dallas was at Fair Park Coliseum, which Pantera used to play all the time, and it was known because it would get tore up all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's why they played there a lot, because nobody gave a fuck about Fair Park Coliseum and they just let Pantera tear it up. But it was a great show. Love seeing Skid Row, you know, play the, they played mostly the heavy shit. I think they played a couple of their hits. They had to, but I'm sure by this point, the glam rock girls probably weren't very happy. I don't know. Some of them are hard asses and become thrash chicks. So there you go.
Did Pantera headline here in Dallas, or did Skid
No, it
Row?
was Skid Row. It was Skid
Yeah,
Row
that's the
show.
same one I seen them too. I seen them in
Yeah, Pantera were not a headliner at this point of their careers. Skid Row had earned the right after selling 5 million copies on that debut album, and I think Slave to the Grind sold about 3 million. I think. I don't know offhand.
2 million.
2 million.
They
I
hit
know.
double platinum
Okay,
in
so it didn't sell
98.
nearly as much as the debut, but that would be expected. But it was definitely a it's a show I remember. I have memories of it. They were pretty foggy because it was crazy.
Yes, it
Lots of wild
was.
shit going on.
I seen them in San
You saw it
Bernardino,
too?
California.
Yeah, we researched that on this page and found it.
And Pantera opened, and I remember their backdrop was a big weed leaf.
That don't surprise me.
Big green weed leaf, and everybody was throwing joints up on the stage for to fill, and he'd fucking pick one up and fucking take a couple of hits off
I
of
was
it
gonna
and
say,
throw
I'm
it
sure
back in the
Phil enjoyed
stage.
that. Yeah.
And lots of people were throwing joints up at him. He must have been high as fuck.
He usually
But
was, or drunk one.
they put on a great show, I remember. It was my first time of seeing them.
That would have been them in their prime for me. Nothing against the brothers or Phil or Rex or anybody, but I enjoyed the earlier Pantera. And as each album evolved, I started kind of like, yeah, this is just getting ridiculous. So that was them in their best days to me.
And
The first three major label albums, I guess you'll call it. Because I still think Power Metal's their best album.
And then when Skid Row came on, like you
Yeah.
said, it was the Pantera crowd, a lot of them, you know. And Sebastian Bach was like, "Why aren't you all throwing me joints up on stage?"
Bach would have loved it, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's a big weed smoker. Nobody would throw joints up on the stage for him.
Did they get any shit thrown at them or anything, or was the
I
crowd?
don't remember that. I was probably, because it was a big airplane hangar. It was an old Air Force or Army base or something. It was a big airplane hangar is what it was. But it probably held probably 5,000, 6,000 people. It was
Yeah,
huge.
so that's a huge show, yeah.
And all general admission, nothing but a floor. There weren't no seats in the place, you know. It was,
That's the way Pantera liked it. Again, this ain't Pantera's tour, but I knew this was going to devolve into more of a Pantera discussion as the tour got here. And we skipped the entire Guns N' Roses tour, but yeah, they did open for GNR on that crazy freaking Use Your Illusion tour that was a fucking disaster from hell.
Them and Soundgarden on some dates too. Which sound I like Soundgarden.
No comment.
Yep.
But after that, Skid Row did a EP, which was all cover songs. And then it took them several years before they put Subhuman Race out. And by then, grunge had took over, and Subhuman Race was not nearly as successful, and it was more sort of grungy alternative punk groove metal. There was nothing glam rock at all about that album either, but it was a different kind of music, and unfortunately that would have been the end of the road for Skid Row with Sebastian Bach, and they never got back together again. To this day, they are
No.
still broken. They are the one band that never reunited. I mean, yeah, there's still a Skid Row out there, but They had Johnny Solinger, who's from Dallas for several years, as their singer. And shit, I don't know how many singers they've been through. And Sebastian's still going
Now they
strong. He
got
doesn't.
some really young guy that I guess because they're on tour right
They're
now.
on tour, and one of my buddies told me, Rob actually said, we always give each other a snippet. He said, I said, what you got? He said, don't laugh. The new Skid Row, listen to it. It's good shit. The kid sounds like Sebastian. I'm like, okay. I haven't listened to it yet, but there you go.
Well,
So Sebastian is still Sebastian. And like I said, this is my Striper story. I guess a few years ago, Sebastian loves to talk shit, as you know.
yeah.
Our listeners may not, but Sebastian Bach is a big shit talker. And he was thrashing on Striper for whatever reason. And I guess Michael Sweet talked shit back. And then they were in this big shit talking thing for a long time. And they were on just a few weeks ago, they were on the Kiss Cruise. And Sebastian, they were both, Striper and Sebastian Bach were, I guess, both playing. And Sebastian called Michael Sweet on stage and they made peace. And
Really?
now they're cool. Yeah. They actually performed a couple songs together.
Well, that's cool.
And Sebastian said that he said, man, life's too short to hold a grudge. He said, especially over something stupid, just us talking on blabbermouth. So there are some pictures of him and Michael Sweet together, and I guess they're good again.
That's cool.
Unfortunately, him and Skid Row, it's not going to happen.
No.
They're never going to get back together.
Too much bad blood there.
Yeah, there is. They were actually a few months ago in Vegas. I think Skid Row was playing, and down the road, Sebastian was playing. So,
Really?
yeah. Slave to the Grind will always be a good memory of what could have been if they would have kept going in that direction.
And
And
grunge wouldn't have fucked everything up.
if they could have put out an album a little sooner, I think, was it 95, Subhuman Race came out. If they had put an album out like in not the Besides Yourself, cover songs, if they'd have put a fucking heavy fucking album out in like 92 or 93, they may have survived grunge and rode along, like Megadeth and Metallica and
Yep.
some of the heavier bands did and continued on, but they just timing wasn't there.
No.
And for the most part,
Why did
Skid
they wait
Row's,
so long to make that next album?
there was heat between Sebastian and them and then grunge. So Atlantic pushed it back. And by then it just didn't matter. Nobody cared anymore. Anybody from the 80s just couldn't put anything out and sell it except for Metallica and Megadeth.
Exactly. I remember hearing
But
a interview with Janie Lane saying he went into what was it, Warner, weren't they with Warner Brothers?
they were with Columbia. And
Columbia?
I'm,
Yeah,
yes.
Columbia. Went into the Columbia headquarters and there was a big poster of Alice in Chains Dirt on the wall.
Yeah, they knew then. They said they were done. Yeah. That's a good, I'm glad you brought Warren up because they sort of did a similar transformation, but not as much as Skid Row when they put out Dog Eat Dog. It's a way darker, heavier album. And Warrant was a way more glammy, girly
Way,
band, way
way.
more, yeah, way than Skid Row was even on the debut album. And that Dog Eat Dog album is another one to me that sort of transferred glam rock into a harder, heavier edge that I thought should have been more successful, but it didn't happen. But I'm going to tell you, I give that album as much credit as I do Slave to the Grind. For me, at least becoming into the more heavier rock and not ever looking back. And I still like Dog Eat Dog. And that's another album I'd recommend, a Warrant Dog Eat Dog. It's a dark album. It still has a little bit more commercial aspects and Slave to the Grind. But again, by
Was
then it
that
was
the
just
next one
way,
after Cherry Pie
it
or?
was after Cherry Pie. Columbia fucked that band over because the album, the Cherry Pie album was done. It was recorded. It was called Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yeah.
The single was going to be Uncle Tom's Cabin, and they were going to go in a more, I wouldn't call it dark, but in a more serious direction. But the label told them, no, we need another
pop
song.
song.
We need a pop song. So they went in the studio and did Cherry Pie. And the next thing you know, they're the Cherry Pie band.
Change the album, name of the album and all that. Yeah.
And that haunted
I got a
Jenny
story
Lane
about that. I may
to
have
his
said
grave.
This before.
Go for it.
I was installing cable one day, and this was out in California right when the Cherry Pie album came out and was big and stuff. And I'm at this older couple's house and turn it on, and they're like, we're only getting cable so we can get MTV. I'm like, really? Really? I'm like, well, why is that? Oh, our son's in a music video. I'm like, oh yeah, which one? And they said a band called Warrant, and the name of the
You're
song
like,
is Uncle Tom's Cabin. The cop that was
Mandarin. Yeah.
That was their son.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like,
that's a
cool.
good song.
Yeah, that is a good song.
I really wish that, you know, again, I think Warrant and Skid Row and a couple of the others, maybe a little lesser degree LA Guns, just really didn't want to be glam rock bands. They were forced into it. And if it had not been for grunge killing it, what direction those guys would have been in and how successful they could have remained. And poor Jenny Lane, you know, I've saw interviews where he said Cherry Pie haunted him to his grave, literally.
Yeah.
And, you know, Warrant's still around. Jenny Lane was gone long before he passed away. And I've seen Warrant, and they put on a hell of a show. You know, they try to keep the legacy alive. It was Janie's band, but you know, they still out there. Skid Row's still out there. I can't tell you the name of their singer or anything, but you know, my buddy Rob gave it a recommendation. So some of these bands from the late 80s that they put out some good stuff, and a lot of it's lost to the world now. So if you're into hard rock and metal, you know, check out some of these older, or not older, but some of the later albums by Warrant and Skid Row. There's some good music out there. The Subhuman Race album from Skid Row, I'm a fan of that album as well. It's a different genre altogether, but
it does have more like the New York hardcore in it, a lot of the songs on it.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
But,
you can really tell where their roots were.
You could, especially sure. Dave Sabo. He was sort of, it was more his band anyway. But yeah, those bands all got lost to history more or less, and sort of a shame because I don't consider Skid Row and Warrant in the same league as I would Poison.
No.
I mean, Poison was a glam rock band.
Yep.
They're still a glam rock band. They tried to become some kind of a country band. I don't know what the fuck Brett Michaels was thinking with some of that shit. But to me, I think of Warren, I think of Unskinny Bop. I think of Skid Row. I think of Slave to the Grind.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Warren.
My favorite album by him, for sure.
I think of, I don't, I really want, I think of the heavier stuff that Janie put out. Because I like those bands. I can't say that even Slaughter. I was a big Slaughter fan at the time, but they were Vinnie Vincent Invasion without Vinnie Vincent. They were just, you know, it just,
yeah.
that music just didn't have all those, it was just fucking just cookie cutter stuff.
Well, would
but
they
I'm
have
telling
one,
you.
Would they have just one hit song that Up All Night, Sleep All Day?
No, they had, Fly to the Angels was their ballad.
Yeah.
But those,
wasn't
you know, again,
fan.
I liked the band. I did. I thought they were great at the time, but I don't listen to them anymore. But I still listen to Skid Row and Warrant. I really do. Because like I said, I think those bands, there was more to them than met the eye. So give those guys a shot if you haven't, if you're, new into metal or, had or old to metal and forgotten, just think of Skid Row for I Remember You and Warrant for Cherry Pie. Check out some of this other stuff because it's good music.
Well, I hadn't listened to this album in shit, probably 5, 6 years.
Well, like I said,
And
two of those songs are still on my playlist.
I'm really glad I revisited it. It brought back a lot of good memories, man, for sure.
Another band we've been sort of hinting at covering is Stryper. And I think we're going to review the new Stryper album here pretty soon. If you don't want in on it, I'll do it on the midweek myself. But people can give Stryper shit. Fuck you if you give Stryper shit.
I like
Stryper,
Stryper.
Michael Sweet is probably one of the top five vocalists of the of hard rock metal, period. And the motherfucker still has his voice because he wasn't a drug addict and he wasn't an alcoholic. So anybody that wants to shit on Stryper, I'll fucking knock him out. I've been defending those guys since 1988. So Michael Sweet, hell, I might be I'm gonna send him a message, say, hey man, you want to come on our show?
That would
He's
be
a
fucking awesome, man.
Michael is a great guy and he loves interacting with the fans, but he just hates the fact that people shit on Stryper. Because he's like the hardest working man in hard rock and metal. He's put out like five solo albums, like five Skid Row or Skid Row, five Stryper albums, did two albums with George Lynch. He just always out there. He's always putting out new stuff and voice is still pristine. One of my favorite people.
Like sort of like Rudy Sarzo, man, he's
Yeah.
still out there, man. 72 years old.
Yeah, it was his birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess tonight was sort of a look back at the what were known as glam rock bands that prospered, and Stryper managed to make it, man. They've successfully gotten past that 80s shit, and that Michael Sweet was given a preview of the tour for next year, and they only had like three or four of the old songs on the set list, and people were like, well, where's Honestly? And he's like, dude, that's not us anymore. That's just not us. So that's another band. Give Stryper a listen. I don't care if you're a devil worshiper or a Christian or a Hindu. They're a good fucking band and they're very talented.
Yes,
And
they
they were
are.
also thrown in that glam category that. Yeah, they were not Poison.
The
And yeah,
yellow and black attack.
I used to have a Stryper poster next to a Slayer poster. And remember, I was telling you earlier, my Stryper CDs and my Slayer CDs are right together down here. I wish I had my, I need to set up my phone where I can do as a camera and like flip it around and show stuff for our YouTube watchers.
When we get your new arm put up there, you can do that. It come with all that stuff.
Definitely.
So
Well, I think we've ranted enough, maybe. So what do you give
Michael Myers.
what do you give Slave to the Grind?
I'm gonna give it 4.8, man. 4.8.
That's a good number right there. There, I mean, it's still relevant, man.
My kids
It's
still sing these songs, dude. They grew up on this shit. They were born, when that came out and was popular. They were little kids and used to sing it in the car and shit, man.
If you can't be king of the world if you're slave to the grind.
Yep,
That's one of the
exactly.
lyrics from, and that should have been the lead single, but Atlantic didn't want it, obviously.
Yep,
So
but
I'll go with you. 5.8. What'd you say? 4.8.
4.8.
I'm trying to give it a 5.8. That's above our rating system.
There's a couple of songs on there that still
There are
good,
many.
but I think
I
they were
don't like Monkey
fillers,
Business. Monkey Business, I think, was forced on them.
Yeah, they were trying to make that was they were trying to make that their hit.
Yeah, it wasn't a hit.
Oh. Well, do you got anything else about Skid Row, Slave to the Grind, Carl.
Nope, I've already delved into however many other bands that sort of the same genre as Skid Row, so I guess I've rambled enough for tonight.
We sort of went off kilter, but oh well. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, who's going to stop us? What is this, episode 103?
104, I think.
104, I think, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Maybe 105, I don't know.
103, 104.
Obviously, we're not going away, even though we've got some people that probably wish we would. We're not going away.
You're stuck with us. You're stuck with us, all you evil bastards.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Check us out on the social medias, the YouTube.
Are we still on Twitter? Or did
yeah, we're still on Twitter.
Elon kick us off?
No, no.
Okay, good.
No, he won't either, I don't think.
We need to have more of a TikTok presence, I think.
Yeah, I know. I know.
TikTok's taking over.
Start recording some shit and send it to me and I'll throw it on there.
No, I'll do that.
Do it. Do
I'll
it.
Do that.
Do it to it, brother. All right, everybody. Thanks
for
listening.
Check us out on YouTube. We've been getting a lot of viewers on certain topics and others we don't. Apparently, yeah. Dracula is a popular topic because all of our Dracula shows have more views than others.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Check us out on YouTube. And if you want to find me, I'm just at Carl Todd and Facebook.
All right, everybody.
I'll friend you.
All right, everybody. Stay evil.
of love betrayed, and the inner saves of a child is bought and sold in the name of the damned. The rage of the angels left silent and cold.
Self-tell.